If you're looking to whet your appetite for engaging and informative talk radio, the lineup at the Fantasy Sports and Politics Network has exactly what you need. Shows like The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, Time Out with women's basketball legend Sylvia Crawley, Compassion Dakini, hosted by Kim Fung, No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor, the FSP Crew Show with co-hosts Jerry Black and the Joker, and the Fantasy Sports and Politics Show all focus on the hot topics in sports, politics, and in life. By visiting fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com, you'll gain great insight into each program and host, access to the show's archives, as well as outstanding articles, photos, and a whole lot more. As well, because of its large and steadily growing following, fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com is a great place to advertise. Stop by today at fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety.
Yeah. Mr. Encore, Fantasy Sports and Politics crew, yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics, ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew.
It's 8 p.m., as you always know. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, along with Jeff the Joker, and this is the FSP Crew Show. I'll give you the number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the number. If you'd like to call in, feel free. We also have a chat room. The chat room is open. Put your name in there. Talk whatever you want to say in the chat room. It's on you. But without further ado, let's get to the show because we have a special guest here. We got somebody that's in the boxing world, and he's doing what can I say? He is multitasking. Let me put it that way. A boxer who's multitasking besides boxing in his own promotion. He's promoting it, and he's also boxing it. He's from the D.C. area. I'm going to be getting into that. But I do want to welcome... without further ado, Mr. Ty Barnett. Hello, Ty. How are you tonight?
Hey, how you doing? I'm good, man. A little tired. You know, I've been training all day. You know, I'm good.
Okay. Well, you heard me say that you're doing a multitasking. You're doing a dual threat here. You're a promoter and a boxer. Well, before we get into those things, tell the audience, the listening audience, who Ty Barnett is before we get into the boxing.
Well, I'm Ty Barnett. I'm a professional prize fighter with a record of 20-3, 13 of those wins by knockout. One of the newest promoters also in the fight game. I'm just an all-around great guy.
And I understand where you're promoting this is where you were born. Am I right about that?
Yeah, Washington, D.C. I'm from Washington, D.C.
Okay. You know, I've gotten a lot of people on here from different walks of life from all over the country, and there's a lot of them that are from the D.C. area. You guys must be pretty ambitious and enterprising down there in D.C., and I'm not mad at you. So this is your return to the area on your own promoted boxing card with Top Flight Production Company. How long has Top Flight been operating, and is this your first ever card?
Yes, this is my first ever card. My company has been in existence for about roughly 3-4 months.
Okay, and what made you want to go in this direction? Since you were a boxer, what made you want to delve into the promoting side of it and try your hand at that?
Well, it always been a goal of mine, you know. And as I went along in my career, I was able to educate myself on the business aspect of boxing. And when I felt as though I had everything, you know, all my T's crossed and all my I's dotted, I said, it's about that time that I'm 100% involved in my career, you know, versus letting someone else dictate what's going on in my career.
Okay. So you're a boxer. You've been fighting for a while. You got a record. You got a real good record. And now you want to get into the promotion side of it. How did you assemble a team that you could trust to help you handle the promoting? Because you're a boxer, so you got to handle the boxing and a lot of the business side of this. You got to have a good team to do that. How'd you assemble somebody, a team to do all what you want them to do?
Well, I have a few of my closest friends along with me. My sister, she's an accountant. You know, I have her along with. My team is not that big. It's not too many people involved, so a lot of people don't have their hands in the cookie jar. I don't have to really worry about no one stealing or trying to get over. And that's how I want to keep it, you know, people that I can trust.
Well, being a promoter, I mean, how did you go about knowing what steps and what things you needed to do? In order to be to do a promotion, let me put it that way.
Well, like I said, it was pretty much hands-on experience, you know, throughout my years of being a professional fighter. But I also always had a vision. I always had a dream. And, you know, I know how I want the show to look. You know, I know what type of money the fighters deserve, and you know, I know how the promoters pay these guys pennies for fights, and you know, I just want to make everybody comfortable, so, you know, because I know how I want to be treated as a fighter. I feel as though fighters, ex-fighters, and active fighters make some of the best promoters, because we really understand, you know, with a boxer, how a boxer feels.
Okay. Well, the DMV seems to be a place that's really on the map right now, especially after the Peterson Khan fight and the recently promoted Jordan Brand card that featured Dusty Harrison. Where does Top Flight Promotions fit into this thing going forward as far as the elite fighters in the area?
Well, you have all elite fighters on the card. You know, a lot of the guys I had fighting on the card just crossed over from the amateurs to the pro ranks. Them guys are former national champions, 4- and 5-time national champions. You know, a lot of them been fighting since they were 8 or 9 years old. And then you have me holding the main event. You know, I'm a main event fighter. You know, I draw a pretty good crowd, have a pretty decent following. And my show just going to stand out from the other shows. Of course, we can't compete with Golden Boy, you know, after the Khan and Peterson fight, we can't compete with that. Their money is a whole lot longer than ours. But I know what it takes to make a decent show, and I did my best to put it all together, and we're waiting to see the outcome Saturday night.
Okay. Well, you say you have a nice fan base that's been following you for a while, and that more than likely they can't wait to see you Saturday night as the main event. What can your fans expect to see in the ring from you on fight night?
They can expect to see that old Ty Barnett, that knockout puncher, you know, that explosive Ty Barnett, you know, back focused. Got one of my old trainers from my childhood back with me. You know, camp been going well. They can just expect Ty Barnett, you know, nothing less.
Okay, what is your what's your bread and butter? What's your go-to punch?
I can't really say, because I got a good. I done knocked guys out with a right hand. I done stopped plenty of guys to the body. I done knocked guys out with a left hook. You know, I'm a puncher. I can punch with both hands. When I'm right, it's good night for my opponent.
Okay. It was 13 knockouts out of 23 fights, I would say so. What other fighters on this card should guys keep on an eye going forward? Black, Mike, who booked you for tonight's show, was looking forward to seeing you, and his boy Mike, yes indeed, Reed. But let the fans know who are the others on this card that they should be looking forward to watching.
Like you said, Mike, yes indeed, Reed, that's one to watch. Kevin Rivers, he's definitely one to watch. David Grayton, he's one to watch. Heavyweight Danny Kelly, he's one to keep an eye on. Renato Gaines, he's one to keep an eye on. And Antonio Magruder, he's making his pro debut. He's an outstanding amateur fighter, and he's definitely another one to keep an eye on.
Now, all these guys, of course,
yeah.
Besides you being from the DMV area, are all these other guys from that area also, or are they from different parts of the country?
Yeah, all of them come from here. You know, all of us used to train together, you know, share the same coach and everything. So I've been knowing these guys since they were little boys.
Okay, so my other question is this. How did you get them to buy into having them on your card, or having them on your card on Saturday?
Oh, I didn't have to get them to buy into it. You know, they believe in me. You know, they know me. You know, they know me. I got a real good relationship with every last guy named, their trainers, their fathers. And it was a no-brainer. You know, once I told them what I was doing and what I had in store, everybody was ready to jump on board. You know, it's the right situation, man. I'm the right person for the job, and they know that.
All right. Besides this card, is there another card you have lined up in the near future?
I got two dates lined up right now. I got an August 10th date and a September 28th date.
Okay. Are you going to be in those fights in those dates also, or is that just a strictly promotion type thing for you?
The August 10th is strictly promotion for me.
Okay.
Promotion. I might do both of them in strictly promotion in September and August, and I might return in October. And I got to see how I feel. I don't know.
Okay. Tell me something about your opponent, Ty. That's you're stepping in the ring with Saturday night.
The guy's from his name is Stephon Alexander from north of Virginia. He's a southpaw young kid, pretty durable. He's been in there with a bunch of undefeated guys. You know, everyone he lost to was undefeated, and I think he only been stopped one time. They say he's tough. You know, he's coming to fight. And, you know, every time he came to the DMV area to fight, he says he got robbed. So I guess he got something to prove against me. You know, a buddy of his said he's going to knock me out. So we'll see.
Well, let me ask you this. How many southpaws have you fought, and what kind of fights were there when you did have a southpaw to go against?
I think I'm three, 1-1 against southpaws. Yeah, 2-1-1 against southpaws.
Okay,
four southpaws.
You sound like the southpaws give you a good way to go. Is that fair to say?
Kind of, sort of, but I mean. Nah, not really. You know, they're easy to adjust to. Man, I've been boxing for 16 years. You know,
right.
It is nothing I haven't seen. No style I haven't seen. You know, I've been in there with hard punches like Zad Judah and Demarcus Chop Chop Corley and guys like that. So
right.
Yeah, it's really not too much I haven't seen.
Okay.
It's just
Jeff,
it's just.
Yeah, well,
I'm sorry,
like
go ahead.
I'd like to thank Ty for joining us. This is Ty Barnett, the boxer, not the comedian, because this boxer is no joke. He's business in and out of the ring. I'll tell you, I have a lot of respect for boxers because you got to make a lot of sacrifices, especially when it comes to making the weight, et cetera, et cetera. Have you ever sparred with any big names?
Oh, yeah. From Zab. Of course, Anthony Lamont Peterson, we come up together for years. Sean Bay Mitchell, when he was in his prime, Chop Chop. Who else? Fernando Guerrero. Adrian Broner.
Really?
Gary Russell. Man, the list goes on.
Okay, what do you think of Adrian Broner?
Oh, man, I love him as a fighter and as a friend.
Okay. Anything else, Jeff?
Yeah.
So what's that relationship like between, you know, the big name fighter and the sparring partner? How does that go? I mean, how does that work? Does their manager approach you and say, hey, your style is kind of like our next opponent? You know, how does that come about?
I mean, all the guys I just named, you know, I know personally, been known for years. The only person I didn't know going into camp with was Zab Judah, but after a day of sparring, you know, I earned my respect, and we became real good friends. But Adrian Broner and those guys, I mean, we sparred before the titles and all this, the spotlight. You know, we've been knowing each other for years, so it wasn't no thing where I'm coming into someone's camp, you know, and I'm a sparring partner. Now, the only time I ever been a sparring partner is for Zab Judah, and after that was it. You know, any of the other sparring was in the gym. You know, like I say, me and the Petersons, we train together. We all shared the same trainer for over a decade. And Adrian Broner, we were in training camp together in Colorado. That's when we sparred. Chop Chop, he's a good friend of mine. We sparred, you know. And I was never too many people sparring partner. I didn't get paid a lot to spar guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay.
So,
all right. Where can fans purchase tickets, and where in D.C. is the venue located? And also give your fans your Twitter handle and how they can follow you on websites and such.
Okay. First, the fans can purchase tickets online at TopFlightProductionsLLC.com. Or you can purchase your tickets at the fight, at the venue. The fight will be held at the Convention Center in Washington, D.C. And my Twitter is TyBarnettKO. My Instagram is Ty_Barnett. My Facebook is TyBarnett. And you can reach out to me. I'm very sociable. I respond back to all my fans and anybody who asks me a question, I respond back to you as soon as I can, you know. And I'm just looking forward to the 15th, and, you know, do my thing, man. Hopefully, be a sellout show, and it's a success as a promoter.
Yeah, that's a big step going from I wouldn't say just a fighter, but being a fighter.
They can also follow my company's Twitter at Top Flight Productions, PRODLLC. Top Flight, PRODLLC. And the same for the Instagram.
Right. Like you said, that's got to be a big a leap to do a boxing, from boxer to a promoter, and doing both of them. And you got to have a lot of trust in the people that are handling the business side of it, because you definitely have to focus on your next opponent and make sure that your mind's right along with your body. So last but not least, you know that Floyd Mayweather recently decided to fight Canelo. Give us your thoughts and who you taking in that fight? I can imagine who you taking, but for your listeners, who you taking between Mr. Mayweather and Mr. Canelo?
You already know I'm going with money.
Okay. And what are your thoughts on about that fight?
It's going to be an easy fight for him. You know, a lot of people, they got amped up after it was announced that he was fighting Canelo. Like, Canelo stands a chance in beating him. I mean, this is boxing. Anything can happen. But at the end of the day, Floyd is, he's a student of the game. You know, he mastered his craft. And he's always prepared, always in shape. He's one of the smartest fighters in the ring. You know, whether he got to make the fight boring or not, he's going to do what it takes to win. And I don't think Canelo got what it takes to beat a Floyd Mayweather. And it's kind of, it's good that Floyd took this fight early, you know, instead of waiting at the, to the end of his contract to take the fight, you know, get the guy while he's getting the guy while he's young. He still has some youth in him. And, you know, after this, he don't have nothing else to prove, I don't think.
Okay. I definitely agree with you with that. Well, Ty, we come to the end of the time we're spending with you. I want to wish you the utmost luck in your promotion and also in your fight that's going to take place on Saturday at I wish you nothing but the best, and hopefully we can have you back in the near future before your next promotion, which is on August 10th, so we can help you promote that on the air. How about that?
Okay, I appreciate you for having me, and I love to be back on.
With that being said, you take care, and like I said again, good luck in your upcoming fight, and hopefully you and your opponent come out there healthy.
All right, thanks. You guys take it easy.
All right, bye-bye
good
now.
Good luck. All right.
All right, that was Ty Barnett. He's jumping into the promoting side of the business, along with he's going to be the main event on the card. It's a big undertaking. He seems like I talked to him off air and also talked to him on air, Jeff, and he seems like he's got things pretty much together. Hopefully he'll be successful in the promotion side of it. With that being said, go ahead, Jeff.
No. You know, I wish I watched more boxing, but, you know, I'll tell you, you got to be so focused on a fight. And then to have to deal with the promotion thing. I guess, you know, he's been doing this a while, but that's a lot on the plate. So I wish the man well. And I don't know. Boxing always seemed real popular in North Jersey where I'm from. And I lived the town over from Lou Duva's office. And I used to see him sometimes eating at the diner.
Okay.
Yeah. And
all right.
Livingstone Bramble was from... my town of Passaic, that guy could punch. Oh,
yeah, he was a nut though. He was definitely a nut, a character, I should say.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that's kind of common in boxing, but yeah, I don't know too many other Rastafarian boxers, but man, that guy could throw a punch through a brick wall. Yeah, yeah.
All right,
colorful guy, heck of a fighter.
We're gonna take about a minute break, and we'll be right back.
If you want to add a little spice to your talk radio, try No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Arguably, No Chaser is the most, shall we say, controversial show in the lineup. Let me give you a couple of direct quotes. If LeBron took a shit in the middle of the street in broad daylight, his Boy Scouts would say it's the greatest one ever. Here's another. Y'all dumb donkeys keep believing what Obama says. Just watch. This country is going to get worse, and I'm just going to sit back and say, I told you so. I can only assume this is why the show is called No Chaser. You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. It's No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. Information, motivation, variety.
Yes, it is what it is. It's No Chaser and it's straight talk. You better come. If you decide to jump on there, you better be prepared for unadulterated conversation. That's all. Bless you. That's all I got to say about that. Anyway, we're going to be playing those commercials, show promos sporadically throughout the show on all the shows. So you'll be able to get an idea of what's the next show of coming up and date and time and what it's about. Anyway, like I said, let's go into this. Let's talk about another thing that's been big news, big news. It's crazy. I can't recall it ever happening so quickly. I'm talking about, and this is on an article, the message on the giant video screen at the Barclays Center said it all. Hello, coach. J. Kidd back where he belongs. Yes, people, for those who are living in the closet or living in some type of isolation, especially in Northeast in the New York area, if you don't know by now, I'm telling you now, Mr. Jason Kidd, recently retired NBA 40-year-old basketball player, I mean recently retired. We're talking about less than 3 weeks, less than 2 weeks. And guess what? He's the next coach of the Brooklyn Nets. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Jeff, your thoughts on Mr. Kidd being,
you know,
a coach right out the gate?
I'm a little old-fashioned. I like to see a guy get a little coaching experience. But if anybody could bypass that, it's Jason Kidd. I mean, the guy got almost 20 years in the NBA, and he's practically been like a coach. And, there have been others to make a similar step, like Avery Johnson went right from playing to head coach. Both point guards, Kidd, with all due respect to Johnson, Kidd with a little more talent, but, played in the league longer. But the thing is, the Nets owner, he wants publicity, you know. Now, also the thing is, Kidd played for the Nets for, I think, 7-8 years, but that, he hasn't been there in a few years, so it's not like he's going to be surrounded by a bunch of former teammates. There's probably only a handful of guys who he played with, and I think he has a good relationship with Darren Williams, which is important. But I'd say a lot of coaches were point guards. Doc Rivers is a very good coach, a lot of others. Kidd is not a big scorer, but I think he's considered a star. A lot of the good coaches aren't stars. A lot of them are former NBA players, but not stars.
Right.
But, Kidd is, I think, always considered like a working man's point guard. Not flashy, not a big scorer, very solid. Because I think a lot of times the real big stars have trouble as coaches. If anybody could do it, it's him. I mean, like I said, I'm kind of old-fashioned. You like to see guys kind of work their way up a little, but unfortunately, not everybody, because for different reasons, not everybody has to. I mean, look at there's so many assistant coaches in the NBA who they could have hired, but, he wants a big name, like Kidd. I mean, look at how many years has Patrick Ewing been an assistant in the league?
Well, that's one of the things I was going to talk about after you finished.
Yeah, and there's lots of others. He just comes to mind. This guy who owns the Nets, he wants to make a splash. He wants headlines. He wants to
compete with the Knicks and the New York papers and radio stations and whatever. So I'm sure that had a lot to do with it.
Yep. Well, you had brought up Patrick Ewing. Patrick Ewing and Patrick Ewing Jr. Weighed in on Jason Kidd. I don't know if you heard about this. Patrick Ewing Jr. tweeted, "For real, though, I'm mad J. Kidd got a head coaching job. My pop's been coaching 10 years and barely gets a look." And Patrick Ewing was on the Dan Patrick Show, like within the last couple of days, yesterday I think it was, whatever it was, and said he was surprised that Kidd got a head coaching job so quickly. He said he was very surprised that it was so early and wish him well and nothing but success. But he said, "I was very shocked." Patrick Ewing was a longtime coach, assistant coach in different spots. He wasn't coaching last year. He just recently got a associate coach or associate head coach or whatever it was with the Charlotte Bobcats. I read an article earlier, Jeff, that the Knicks had asked him to take a D-League coaching head coaching job, and he said no, he wasn't feeling that too well. That's like he definitely felt that was a step back in the minor leagues, where he had a lot more knowledge to give to somebody in the NBA versus somebody in D-League. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if he's a bad interview or what, but I don't understand. I know Patrick Ewing for the longest has been trying to get a head coaching job, and for some reason, none of the owners in the NBA who've been looking for coaches that stepped up to the plate and giving Mr. Ewing the shot that some of these guys that have been unproven, just like Jason Kidd, to give them a shot and bypass over Patrick Ewing. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many. I mean, another guy, I don't know if he's still an assistant. He did work a few years as an assistant. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was looking for a head coaching job. There's so many. Mark Jackson, he did go to the booth for a few years, but he didn't have any coaching experience before he got the job in Golden State. And, you know, to his credit, he's done well. A lot of guys. Now, sometimes, like, I heard the knock on Jabbar was maybe a lack of personal skills. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's important, you know, because I think, you know, Jabbar was considered kind of aloof, maybe a little bit of an intellectual, not one of the guys when he was playing. And I guess he still kind of has that image. And very similar, I think Rick Barry wanted to be a head coach. I don't know if he has any coaching experience. He has a lot of broadcast booth experience. I don't think he could even get an interview, despite the fact that he was a
long time ago. I think Rick Barry burned a lot of bridges, so it was hard for him to even get a look.
I think similar to Jabbar, I mean, even more so, he was considered kind of a prima donna, not one of the guys. Et cetera, et cetera. Even the guys who worked with him doing the broadcast, you know, they used to go out after the games for a beer or two, and Rick Barry was kind of a loner, you know. But, you know, and a guy like that might not be a good head coach. But you look at some of the guys who've been the great head coaches, like Pat Riley. He played in the NBA, but he was a role player. He wasn't a star. Phil Jackson, another guy, played in the league, but not a star, you know.
Right.
And then the guys... Some of the superstars, when they try to become head coaches or executives, like Michael Jordan, Isaiah Thomas, Ay Caramba, you know? You know?
All right. I hear you, Jeff. Well, we have our esteemed other co-host that stepped in. Welcome, Black. How you doing, my man?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Sorry for the lateness. We got a lot of stuff going on here, but glad to be here tonight. I assume I missed Ty already.
Yes, you missed him about not close to 10 minutes ago, at least. But it was a good interview. Thank you for hooking us up. You are going to be at that venue, right?
Yeah, I'll be there Saturday. I'll be there Saturday. You know, I got to go support our boy, Mike Yesendeed Reed, and Ty's on the card as well. So I'll definitely be in the building.
Okay. Do you know these guys personally? I think you know Mike Reed personally. What about Ty?
Don't know Ty. It'll be my first time meeting him Saturday.
Okay. But you
that's
do
cool,
know Mike.
Cool.
Yeah, I do know Mike. Good friend.
You know, I always wanted to see live boxing. It's one of the few sporting events I haven't seen live. I mean, I've seen almost every sporting event. You know, of course, football on almost every level, baseball, of course, basketball, even hockey, roller derby, wrestling, arena football. But one of the few sports I haven't seen live is boxing. So one of these days I'm going to see live boxing.
What are you doing next weekend, Joker?
I'm going to Connecticut. I got a wedding to go to.
I was going to say, I'll hear back probably by this Saturday whether I'll be going to the Adrian Broner and Paulie Malignaggi fight. It's up there at Barclays in Brooklyn. I was going to say, just meet me there.
Oh, that would have been nice. But
yeah.
But one of my little cousins isn't so little anymore, and she's tying the knot up in Connecticut. So I'll be up there next weekend.
Okay. Well, when you jumped on Black, and I think you heard part of the conversation, we were talking about Jay Kidd retiring, and 2 weeks later, or less than 2 weeks later, he's got a head coaching job with his old team, the Brooklyn Nets, formerly the New Jersey Nets. Your thoughts?
Was there any tampering involved from you New York Knicks fans about this? Is any eyebrows being raised about this? Any collusion going on?
Well, what are your thoughts on Jay Kidd getting this head coaching job? And I'm going to propose this to both of you guys. What kind of job do you think? Because he did talk about recently, briefly about toughness, getting this team to have some toughness in them. So, talk to me about that, Black.
Well, from the outside looking in, you got to go back to Kidd's playing days up there in New Jersey. I mean, he did take the Nets to two finals.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there was loyalty on that part. I don't know if Prokhorov was a fan of Kidd coming in, because it was a very quick hire, extremely quick hire. I was shocked that Brian Shaw didn't get a second or third interview to come in there. Doc Rivers looked like he'll be coming available soon. So it was a very quick hire. But you got to look at guys. Guys have a pretty good understanding of the league and how it works. You look at the success Mark Jackson has had there in Golden State. Didn't take too much time down there. It might work out in the long run. I mean, Jay Kidd made the Hall of Famer, so it might work out down there. It all depends on the personality down there and how he gets along with those players.
Speaking of Doc Rivers, I want to jump over there real quick. Week or so ago, Doc Rivers was, he's been probably one of the few teams that are looking for head coaching jobs, and teams inquired to Danny Ainge, his boss, would he be available for interview. And it was reported that Danny Ainge said refused to have Doc available for any kind of head coaching jobs other than the Boston Celtics. Now it's reported that Doc Rivers is probably looking to go elsewhere. Jeff, your thoughts on what the heck's going on in Boston right now?
You know, I mean, I like Doc. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he played for the Knicks. He was old past his prime at that point. But a good player, a very good coach. I get the impression he might not want to stick around Boston for a lengthy rebuilding process. And I can't blame him. You know, I don't know his relationship with Ainge. I don't think they would want him while the job's taken. I don't think they'd want him going to New Jersey because that's the same division. But if they do have a good relationship, maybe they could accommodate him somehow. You know, I don't know. I mean, getting back to the Nets,
this Nets owner, I mean, he really wants to do all this big publicity stuff, you know, sign a free agent and a coach. I mean, the thing is, Kidd might be a good coach, but I think there were so many other better prospects, you know, and I don't think Kidd, even if he is a good coach, which, you know, he very well might be, I don't think he's going to put butts in the seat. And his Nets owner just strikes me as being a day late and a dollar short, you know?
And, you know,
I'm sure maybe, you know, the whole competing with the Knicks had a little something to do with it. A little. I mean, the thing is, you know, Kidd had a year with the Knicks. I mean, a year. And then, you know, the Knicks last year had the oldest team in NBA history. And now most of those guys are gone. They're not coming back. You know, Kidd retired. I don't think Rasheed Wallace, Marcus Camby, Kurt Thomas, I don't think any of those guys are coming back. Now they got to get a whole bunch of new old guys, you know? That's the problem with guys like, I mean, it did work out for a while. And then they got the kid, you know, 35-year-old Kenyon Martin, you know? And he showed enough to come back next year. So, and it just goes to show you, you know, in the middle of an NBA season, you could sign a guy who can make an impact. Who would have thought? So they got to reload the bench for next year.
Black?
Oh, man. As far as Doc Rivers, I'm thinking that the Clippers might make a move contingent on if they can keep Chris Paul there. If Chris Paul is still with the Clippers, I think the Clippers are a strong candidate to land Doc Rivers if he can find his way out of Boston. Like I said, with Kidd, it's a wait-and-see approach right now. I mean, congratulations on the hire for the Nets. But I think Kidd might be able to do a good job with that, New Jersey. But Doc Rivers,
really?
I wouldn't be surprised if he lands in the Clippers job.
You think that's the one of the reasons why he hear reports about him?
I mean, Paul Pierce and Garnett, all those guys are aging. You know his relationship with Rondo. They usually butt heads back and forth. I don't see him putting himself through that again.
Okay. Let me do this first, and let me then bring in the another caller here. Let me go this way first.
If you're into fantasy sports, you're going to love the Fantasy Sports Show with host Victor Gardner and co-host Jerry and Black every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. This show is so hot, I can only play the intro.
Fantasy Sports and Policy.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Fantasy Sports Show. Information, motivation, variety.
And with that being said, let's bring in the host of the FSP show, Mr. Vic Gardner. Welcome tonight, my man.
Thank you. Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Oh, boy.
How y'all feeling?
Okay.
What's going on, man?
Ain't never had the interview go.
It went well. It went very well. Mr. Ty Barnett is an ambitious guy. He's like he's fighting and he's promoting it in the same venue. So this guy's trying to be a Oscar De La Hoya, Floyd Mayweather, and hopefully it works out for him.
Great.
It's in the water down here, sir. It's in the water.
That's right. It's in the water down there. Just like it's in the water that even though the Colts didn't get it right, and I'm glad they didn't, the NFL players got it right. One player was placed below the true number one draft pick. And the true number one draft pick of last year will be in the top 20. RG3 is a top 20, not a top 25, not a top 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, the top 20 player. Hopefully, he'll be in the top 10. Andrew Luck, to my surprise, was voted 22 or 23, I believe. Not my boy RG3. I was very surprised by that.
Wow. Okay. Well, since you're watching it and we're not, you give us that information. I didn't know that. I guess it was naturally assumed that Luck would be the higher of the two. Surprise, surprise. Surprise, surprise.
Well, they started out with a whole bunch of surprises to me. Like, they had Alden Smith, number 30, and they had Joe Thomas, 29, and then they went to, and I thought these were backwards, but they went Brandon Marshall than Julio Jones, and I thought Brandon Marshall had a better year than Julio, in my opinion, but, you know, I'm not in the NFL, and they dropped a couple other people, Marshawn Lynch, and Andrew Luck, and they've got a couple more to go, but, yeah, it's pretty interesting what they have in here so far.
Okay. All right. Well, we were talking about Mr. Kidd, recently rehired by the Brooklyn Nets. Since you jumped in here on the tail end of that conversation, give me your thoughts on that.
bad decision. Bad.
Really? Decision. Okay.
Yes. I like Jason Kidd. I've got his rookie card. I love the fact that he knows how to distribute and work the floor. What I don't know is he an Elgin Baylor or is he a Joe Dumars? What do I mean by that? If Elgin Baylor, great player, bad administrator, he hired him as the coach, though, you know. I don't know if Jason Kidd has the ability to be the head coach as opposed to the head basketball player. You got players like Patrick Ewing and folks like that that have been coaching. Brian Shaw, who have been coaching for several years and have
mm-hmm.
earned the respect of the coaches
mm-hmm.
to have a head coaching job. And he's 10 days removed from retiring, and he gets a head coaching job. Fastest ever. I think it was a big splashy move that the owner of the Nets wanted to make, but I think ultimately you'll see Jason Dunn in maybe 2 or 3 years if things don't work out. And he already said he needs another shooter and a big forward. He already said that. He said that today on ESPN. So he's saying right now, whoever their shooting guard is, he's going to be gone, and they need somebody else other than Brooke Lopez. And oh boy, Larry Fitzgerald is number 22. Are you kidding me? Oh well. Wow, they got Larry Fitzgerald. I'm sorry, I'm just low. He's number 22 above Julio and above Brandon for this past year. God, he dealt with a whole bunch of crap, but shouldn't be the case. But anyway, the boy Jason is a good player. Very good player. I don't know what he's going to do with the talent he has, but he's bringing back Frank. He's bringing back Frank as his assistant coach, so he'll have some help. But I think they should have went with Brian Shaw or Patrick Ewing and myself.
Well, if he's been bringing back Lawrence Frank, that is a good. Good assistant coach. He can teach him how to be what to do as a head coach. And also, Lawrence Frank is a very good defensive coach too. That being said, he's one of the better coaches in being able to defend against LeBron, believe it or not. And it will serve well for Jason Kidd to lean on Lawrence Frank a lot. I mean, Lawrence Frank hasn't had too much success in head coaching, but he can teach him the ropes of head coaching and also, like I said, teach the defense that he runs for the team. So,
I'm sure Jason Kidd has already put in the call to Mark Jackson to see how Mark Jackson filled out his back. But I think it's a good hire.
Well, but you know what? You know what, Black? And I don't know if Jeff is on the line or not, but
yes, he is.
At least – oh, what's up, Jeff? I'm sorry, brother.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let you take over, bro. The difference between Mark Jackson and Dixon Kidder is this. Jackson was away from the game, and he saw the game from a different perspective for a couple of years. He was able to digest the dynamics of the NBA from a different point of view. You know, he was a commentator. He was actually looked at as being the Knicks coach or the Nets coach, whatever it is. And he came with a little more credibility than I think Jason Kidd does. And he's proven it out here in Golden State. You know, he's taken a bunch of no-names other than Steph Curry and Lee and turned them into almost NBA finalist teams. So, you know.
But isn't that what you want your point guard to do? You want your point guard to make the team better. This happens to be a point guard who's not a coach now. He's going to know every position out there where guys need to be.
That's all I'm saying.
I can't possibly take that as an excuse why he'll be bad. He doesn't have to be removed from the game to be able to coach.
I got you. But for me, I'm thinking, okay, well, you're 10 days off. That's just like saying you're giving birth to a baby and you're sending him straight to college 10 days after he's born. You know, there's a totally different aspect you have to look at from being a coach, a head coach, not an assistant coach, but a head coach, versus, you know, being a 80 point guard. You know, I understand you can diagram plays and stuff like that, but there's several things you have to think about, you know, as the head coach, and I don't know if Jason Kidd is ready to do. But go ahead, Jeff, knock yourself out. I hope y'all played Matt's promo, because I thought it was very funny. But go ahead.
Big, it's nice to hear from you. And I'm glad to know I'm not the only one who ever bought basketball cards. I was more into baseball and football cards. But, I 1 year I got into the basketball cards. You know, it's fun. It was fun before it got real popular.
All right. Well, everybody, you guys know tonight is game four of the NBA Finals. And game one was a close game that was won by the San Antonio Spurs with the last-second shot from Tony Parker. Game two was over a 20-point win with the Miami Heat, the second game in Miami that the Heat won. First game in San Antonio decides to say, you know what? You gave us a 20-something point loss. We're going to return the favor, but we're going to one-up you. We're going to go over 30 with our win and humiliate you even a little bit more. A lot of talk about how good a player LeBron James really is in the attitude and his body language in taking that whooping. I'm going to give this to Victor first because Victor said quite a bit on Saturday about LeBron James. What kind of attitude and what kind of way do you think LeBron James is going to come out and react to this game, game four of the second game, the middle game of three games in San Antonio? Is he going to come out with vengeance and carry the Miami Heat to a win? Or is it going to be just a repeat, maybe not to the same magnitude as the last game, but another Miami Heat loss? Victor.
And before you go, Victor, mind you, LeBron James is playing center tonight for Miami Heat.
He's playing center?
Starting center tonight.
Yes, he's playing center, yes.
Interesting. That's interesting. I did not know that.
That's a panic move. But...
I agree. Here's what I think, and we talked about this, like Jerry said last Saturday, that I don't think that he is the best player on the planet because he does not have that killer instinct. Jerry and my cousin Mike, they were like, well, he is the best player. I'm like, Kobe is. Kobe will keep chucking that ball up, and he'll keep going to the hole. He'll take his jump and stuff like that. Where has LeBron's going to the hole gone? It disappeared. His ability to take over the game disappeared. He admitted it. The only problem that I see San Antonio having in this game is LeBron will decide to show up. Now, the thing is, Tony Parker and Tim Duncan didn't show up last game either. It was two players off the bench for San Antonio that outscored all of the Heat starters. So it doesn't matter to me what LeBron does. It's what the rest of the team does. You know, LeBron can come out and throw up 50. But if the score is 89-63, they didn't do crap. And that's the problem. I like the Heat. I'm just a LeBron hater. He doesn't have the stones. And I know Jerry and Mike, my cousin, were talking about how, you know, he needs to, I'm like, screw y'all. Screw him. Either he has it or he doesn't have it. Either he has it or he doesn't have it. And in my opinion, he doesn't have it. Likeable guy, but he just doesn't have the set of nuts to do it. They put Reggie Wayne above Andrew Luck and Larry Fitzgerald. That's interesting. Number 21. Okay. Go ahead.
Talk to me. Black.
Well, I'm well connected here in D.C. with a lot of the guys. I saw something interesting that my friend Lonnie Harrell had posted earlier. I don't know if you guys know Lonnie Harrell.
Yeah.
The prime objector from Iron One. But he was telling me that this is sort of a product of a guy being catered to from very young age, being handed everything all the way up until now, and mm-hmm. never having his tail kicked. Now, I don't know how true of a statement that is, but you look through his career, I haven't seen any tough moments where he's really had to struggle and put his foot down and get things done. LeBron is not that type of player. In my eyes, I don't know what you guys think. He's a great player, but I tend to think along the lines of what Dennis Rodman said the other day, that if he was playing in the 80s and 90s, he would be just an average player. Not a superstar player that he is. And it's rare that you would hear me agree with that guy, but I have to agree with
Jeff.
Well, you know, Dennis Rodman, he's quite the character. you know, I think, LeBron is obviously a great player, but he might be, and it's not a knock, Peyton Manning. He's great during the regular season, but in the postseason, not as good, because, you know, for whatever reason, the brighter spotlight, better competition, whatever. But, you know, I'll tell you, if you want to compare LeBron to Kobe to Jordan.
No, you can't.
But LeBron is, you can mention him in the same breath. I mean, it's not a joke. I don't know, he's polarizing. A lot of people love him, but a lot of people really, really hate the guy. But my thing about Kobe, I mean, Kobe's a little crazy. I mean, but in a good way. Because he's one of these guys, he wants to win and beat the poop out of somebody, even if he's playing gin rummy with his grandmother. You know? But that's what you want from your star guy. You
mm-hmm.
know? Kobe's nuts. I mean, he was talking about his worst childhood memory was getting dog poop on his Air Jordan, and he's so nuts. He was, like, scarred for life because the guy's, like, a perfectionist, you know? He was talking about it like it happened yesterday. That's Kobe,
right.
You know? And, you know, he's all about Kobe, but he's all about winning. He got that from day one. And LeBron, not the same type of personality. But I just hope Joey Crawford isn't working any of these remaining games because I just don't trust him.
You know him. You know he'll be back out there. You know Joey Crawford will be back out there.
Back in the day, they had Dangerous Danny Davis, you know, working the matches for the WWF. And
right.
That's what Joey Crawford is. He's that WWF caliber referee.
And LeBron is so talented. It just strikes me as a guy. You bring up Kobe. Kobe is a guy who give him 5 hours in the gym, he's going to give you solid 5 hours of work, five solid hours of jump shots maybe. LeBron doesn't strike me as that type of guy.
Okay.
Like every offseason, guys come back with something new to the arsenal. I don't see that with LeBron.
Well, I do believe that LeBron spent some time with Hakeem Olajuwon to develop his post moves, if I'm not mistaken.
A post. So.